powered by Righteous Media.
Welcome to Independent Americans. Welcome to episode 273. I'm your host, Paul Rykoff. Yes, March Madness is here, and that means lots of threes. It also means lots of overdue real talk all around America. That's why now, especially in the middle of March Madness, is definitely a time to stay vigilant.
On 14 April 21, President Biden made the formal announcement of his decision to honor the Doha Agreement with a military withdrawal while maintaining a continued diplomatic presence. The Department of Defense understood that our mission was to conduct a retrograde of the remaining U.S. military forces and equipment while leaving a small contingent to defend the American embassy while diplomatic outcomes were negotiated. On 14 August, the non-combatant evacuation operation decision was made by the Department of State, and the U.S. military alerted, marshaled, mobilized, and rapidly deployed faster than any military in the world could ever do. It is my assessment that that decision came too late.
This March is already filled with madness. And finally, real talk and a focus on Afghanistan. That's a comment from General Milley in his testimony before Congress this week. Accountability on Afghanistan is long overdue. The debacle of a withdrawal from Afghanistan will forever be a stain on America's reputation, a national disgrace, and President Biden's Hurricane Katrina moment. The moment where he was overwhelmed, lost control, and failed America. The great American betrayal of Afghanistan. That's what I call it. It was a low point in America and for the world that we will truly never forget.
Number of Americans. This was always an issue. The number of Americans, as General McKenzie said, an F-77 report is supposed to, every ambassador in every country of the world keeps an F-77 report, and they're supposed to track the Americans, where they're at, the phone numbers, address, et cetera, in the country. That was always a difficult number for us in the Department of Defense to get a hold of, and I think it's true at the tactical level and operational level as well. And I'll be candid. I don't know the exact number of Americans that were left behind because the starting number was never clear. Same is true of at-risk Afghans, SIVs, the commandos, other Afghans that serve with us. Those numbers varied so widely that they were quite inaccurate, as best I could tell at the time. So I would just say I'm not sure, even today, about the accuracy of all those numbers.
They didn't even know how many Americans were there. That is stunning and damning. And candid, a real hard truth, real talk from a leader who's been laying down a lot of real talk over the last couple years. But he wasn't alone. Here's former U.S. Central Command commander, General Kenneth McKenzie, with his opening statement on the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
I'd like to talk a little bit now about Abbey Gate. It was a tragic event, one of many that have occurred over our 20-year engagement in Afghanistan. It remains my opinion that if there is culpability in this attack, it lies in policy decisions that created the environment of August 2021 in Kabul.
The culpability lies in the policy decisions that created the environment, which is correct. And another way of saying the president was and is still responsible. William Bustos is a former 68 Whiskey and an OEF vet who tweeted at me this week, "That's what pushed me to be an independent. I can't vote for Biden, and I can't vote for Trump. The Afghan withdrawal was one of the most irresponsible things I ever saw our country do. I also feel it's what gave a green light to Putin. I'll never forget." Never forget. That was the slogan around 9/11. And 9/11 is what started our invasion of Afghanistan. And we never forget 9/11. And we will never forget the debacle of a withdrawal from Afghanistan. William's opinion is not an unpopular one among vets, and especially among independent vets. Many of us will never, ever forgive Biden over Afghanistan. It doesn't mean we'll necessarily vote for Trump, but it does mean that it's been a very hard pill to swallow and a betrayal of our trust in our government and in our president. And if you don't see it and hear it, you're probably not really in touch with veterans in this country, especially post-9/11 vets, because I've seen universal, bipartisan, nonpartisan, consistent outrage. And for all of you wondering what can be done now, there is an Afghan SIV visa program, a way to get Afghan allies out of Afghanistan, that's still hanging in the balance in Congress. Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of our allies have been left behind. And the Association of Wartime Allies in February showed that the estimated 81,000 special immigrant visa applicants in Afghanistan had visa applications pending as of August 15, 2021, the day that Kabul fell. Some 78,000 were not evacuated. And at least 96% of the SIV population remained in Afghanistan and in grave danger of reprisal by the Taliban. So there has to be a solution. So it's not too late to save our allies and get them out. The president should push as hard as humanly possible to make it happen. And there's reports now that Congress will create an amendum to a bill that will allow 12,000 of them to get out, which is good, but not enough. It's scraps. So the president's got to make this happen and more. But he continues to stubbornly dig in. Reflected most vividly in his failure to even mention Afghanistan in the recent State of the Union. It's clear he wants it in the rear view. But we and our allies in Afghanistan can and will never forget. Somebody else named Sergeant Granny tweeted at me this week, a tweet that I hear a lot from partisans. She said, "Keep pounding away on Biden, Paul. Your plan is working." Well, my response to Sergeant Granny and so many other Democrats and partisans, keep denying reality, Sergeant Granny, on Afghanistan, on Biden's health, on crime in America. Your denial, your failure to have the real talk is a big part of why Biden's struggling, especially with independent Americans. It's time for real talk all around, especially this week, because stakes is high.
Stakes is high. You know them stakes is high. When you talking about stakes is high. Y'all know them stakes is high.
Yes, my friends, Washington has had its own kind of March Madness, and stakes is high. Even as support for Trump continues to erode. This is former Vice President Mike Pence.
And it should come as no surprise that I will not be endorsing Donald Trump this year.
It actually is a surprise, and about damn time. A lot of former allies of Trump have come out, and I think they are weakening him over time, especially among independents. But he wasn't the only politician laying out some real talk this week. Here's Democrat from New York, Senator Chuck Schumer, on Israel, and specifically on Prime Minister Netanyahu.
At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel.
He's right. This is long overdue talk. Netanyahu for Israel is like Trump for America. You can separate America from Trump, and you have to separate Netanyahu from Israel. And Netanyahu's leadership is driving Israel down. It's driving support for Israel down. It's creating a conflict of epic proportions in terms of the humanitarian need. Too many children continue to die. And it's on Netanyahu's watch. It's something that I warned long ago, that if Netanyahu repeated the mistakes that George Bush made in America, Israel would suffer the same fate. And they have. Globally, Israel is down in their support like never before. Just like America after George Bush decided to invade Iraq. So I think Schumer's actually right. And I think many independents probably feel the same way, that Netanyahu has got to go. And until he does, Israel and the people of Gaza are going to be worse off for it. Speaking of worse off, I'm going to keep talking the real talk about the ebbs and flows of independence in America, which is now finally national news. You're hearing a lot more about independence and about independent or self-proclaimed independent candidates, from Jill Stein to Cornel West to, of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. It's not all good news surrounding independence, because the latest person who's not really an independent, who might be turning independent, is Senator Bob Menendez from New Jersey, the indicted disgraced senator who will be driven out of office sooner or later, is now apparently eyeing an independent run for Senate.
Julie, meanwhile, you have new reporting about Senator Bob Menendez?
I do, Jose. The embattled senator, who has faced many charges in his multiple court battles, is now apparently eyeing an independent run for Senate.
Because unfortunately, independent is where a lot of people go when they have nowhere else to go. And Menendez is definitely in that category. So when it comes to Menendez joining the independent movement, I say, oh, hell no. He's not an independent, and he's the last thing we need to screw up our brand nationally, because it's already being screwed up pretty hard by the one and only RFK Jr. Yes, Kennedy, after switching from being a Democrat just about 4 months ago to being anti-vaccine, to spreading 9/11 conspiracies, to floating bullshit VP candidates like Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura. And after those two bombed, he's got a new way to give independents a bad name, with another VP candidate that looks like it might be the one. It's someone named Nicole Shanahan. You've probably never heard of her. She's a Bay Area lawyer and investor who was once married to a Google co-founder. She was a creative element and a primary financial backer behind Kennedy's big Super Bowl ad, where he kind of tricked everybody into thinking that he was a Kennedy of old. It was a very diabolically effective ad, but it was funded by Shanahan. So, I guess when Kennedy has to figure out how to be relevant, if he can't get news by selecting someone like Aaron Rodgers, he's going to have to get a billionaire. And that's what he gets with Nicole Shanahan. So when you saw her name, or you heard her name here, you probably said, who? Exactly. Nicole Shanahan would be bad enough to make Kamala Harris look like a great VP candidate. And real independents won't be buying it, any more than they're buying Aaron Rodgers. So we better get this song primed up for the whole year. Hell to the no.
Hell to the no. To the no, 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 no. Hell no, no. To the no, no. Hell to the no, no.
To the no, 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 no.
Hell to the no, no.
Yes, we're going to have to hold the line, my fellow independents, and call out the fake independents and call out the scoundrels, and we're going to have to continue to bring real talk and attention to what matters. And that always, and especially now, includes real talk about the ongoing heroic fight by the people in Ukraine.
Чогось наша славна Україна зажурилася, а ми тую червону калину піднімемо.
And the Secretary of Defense, after clearing the hospitalization debacle of his own creating, has been very strong on Ukraine, before, during, and after. And he wrote this week, as POTUS said, Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons that it needs. Ukraine's battle remains one of the great causes of our time. Putin will not stop at Ukraine. Ukraine's struggle for freedom matters to us all. That's, of course, correct. Safety for Ukraine is safety for the free world and safety for America. That's why we can't take our eye off the ball on Ukraine. We must continue to support Ukraine all the way to victory. That's the kind of real talk we need from more true patriots here in America and more leaders who truly stand on the side of freedom. Ukraine is tied to safety in America. But that's something that's increasingly hard to come by. Whether it's threat from a mass shooting, or a threat from climate change disasters, or the threat from crime in our streets and cities especially. And it's also time for real talk about crime and violence in America, and especially in New York City. I lay puzzle as I backtrack to earlier times. Nothing's equivalent to the New York state of mind. State of mind. Your state of mind. Your state of mind. Your state of mind. Your state of mind. So, last week, the New York Police Department was searching for a man who allegedly threw a flaming container of flammable liquid at people standing on a subway platform in Manhattan last month. The incident happened at West 28th Street on the southbound 1 train, a train I take from time to time. No injuries were reported from the incident. The NYPD released surveillance video showing the suspect holding two flaming cans inside a subway station. The headline: Man threw flaming container in New York City subway station. This kind of crap is happening daily in New York City, and in other cities too, but especially here. Some in the media, especially on Fox News, are scaremongering. But the fear and intimidation and craziness is real. If you don't think so, ride the subways and walk the streets. New York City's subway assailant is quickly becoming the new Florida man. But much worse. Just over a week ago, my wife was in a subway car with a guy who freaked out, threatened to cut everybody, and scared the shit out of everyone. And last week, a young teenage kid that's very close to me was on a platform when the latest terrible subway shooting happened. You probably saw the video. If you didn't, you probably should. A man was shot in the head at a subway station in downtown Brooklyn after a fight broke out. The aggressor pulled the gun, the other guy turned his gun on him, and shot him in the head. Hundreds of people were on the trains, hundreds of people were petrified, including a young man who's only 14 years old and was on his way home from school to go to baseball practice. Thankfully, he's okay, and he actually rose to the moment and helped people get out. But this is his New York, and this is Eric Adams's New York City. Adams continues to fail to control it, just like he continues to fail us New Yorkers on so many other issues. He is Mayor Disaster. We thought it couldn't get worse than de Blasio, but Adams is sure as hell trying hard. This city, like many other cities, especially facing the migrant crisis, is a powder keg right now, with so many rupturing fault lines. The city feels unsafe. There are too many guns. There are too many homeless people. There are too many people with mental health issues. People are understandably scared. The migrant crisis is adding pressures everywhere, and our feckless mayor has no plan. That's why, in our family at least, we do. It's called applesauce. Yes, applesauce. That's the code word I use with my kids to alert them of a potential danger when we're out on the streets. If we're out and we're walking, with or without my wife, and I say it, my boys know to immediately get on my hip behind me and do what I say. They understand that when I say applesauce, it means I'm not fucking around, and they need to listen to me and let me direct them to safety. This is the New York City that my kids are growing up in. And I'm teaching them, don't be scared, be prepared. That's the reality we're facing. And that's the real talk that's required. You know this ain't a game to us. You strange to us. That's when we getting dangerous. Come on. This isn't serious. We could make you delirious. You should have a healthy fear of us. Cause too much of us is dangerous. So dangerous. We so dangerous. A flip most fraud is dangerous. So dangerous. Speaking of overdue real talk, this is actually some good news. 1 year ago, the Department of Veterans Affairs finally changed their outdated, sexist motto. We fought like hell for years to make this overdue and important change that would tell everyone they were welcome at the VA, including survivors and women. It was a change that showed that all are welcome at the VA and truly appreciated by their country, not just men. Many of you stood with us. Some of you did not. But we were on the right side of history and achieved a massive victory. But lots of hard and critical work still remains, especially as we continue to lose too many of our brothers and sisters to suicide, as democracy is under attack, and as vets and vets issues fall from the headlines. The veterans movement is changing, but it evolves, it endures, and it's more urgent than ever, especially in defense of our democracy. So answer the call. Join the veterans community, whether you're a veteran or not, and support the fight onward. It is a fight that is driven by independent veterans and includes independents of all kinds. We need you. We need more people speaking truth to power with real talk. And speaking of real talk, it's time for some real fun, because March Madness is here. Yes, March Madness might be my favorite sporting event of the year. It's exciting, it's inspiring, it's riveting, it's unifying, it gets you a geography lesson on schools you've never heard of, and I'm going, because the first round is actually going to be in Brooklyn, and I'm leaving school early with the boys to go. I'm also hosting an event next week, and if you're in the New York City area, please join us. If you're not, you should still know about it, and you can support. My wife, Lauren, and I are proud to be hosting a first annual March Madness for the Kids event to benefit the most impressive youth development and basketball program I've ever seen, called Steady Buckets. This program is the truth. Steady Buckets has been changing lives for decades and continues to do it every single day for thousands of kids across New York City. And I think it's a model that could be replicated nationwide. And so we're having a special, fun event to benefit Steady Buckets on March 28th at the Nexus Club in New York City with beloved comedian Jim Gaffigan and NBA champ and former New York Knick, Malik Rose. Now, Jim is an awesome guy. He's also a Steady Buckets parent. He's going to do his thing and bring the laughs. And I'll lead an inspiring conversation with NBA legend Malik Rose and legendary Steady Buckets founder, Coach Mackie Bergman, one of the most inspiring human beings I've ever known. Then we're all going to hang out, eat, drink, watch all the NCAA March Madness games in the very cool Nexus Club room, and we'll have big screen special guests, some very cool auction items, and a free throw shooting contest. Yes, I will be entering, Malik will be entering, Jim Gaffigan will be entering, and if you are there, you can enter too, my friends. So check out the invite. Tickets are tax deductible, and we expect it to sell out. And if you can't make it, share it with your friends in the New York area. Look for a link in the show notes here and check us out. It'll be a fun night and a great way to bring together independent Americans from across the tri-state area. And wherever you are, enjoy March Madness and enjoy the NBA, where my Knicks are on fire. Go Knicks, and enjoy the madness, people. Yes, March Madness is here. So is a new guest next week. One of our most popular, one of our most insightful guests of all time will be back next week. The American icon, the American legend, director Ken Burns will be back on the program next week. So be sure to tune in for that and tell your friends. Tell them to join this Independent Americans community. Look for ways to subscribe and be involved at independentamericans.us. Wherever you're listening right now, be sure to hit that subscribe button and join our Patreon community. The folks that are on the bench ready to support this team every single day, not just in March. Big shout out to all of you in our Patreon community. And be sure to check me out on Wednesdays on News Nation with Colin McShane in the 3 o'clock hour. And then the 4 or 5 o'clock hour, I will continue to be on Deadline White House with Nicole Wallace on MSNBC. And check social media for other appearances, events, and more. 2024 is a year that's going to be full of madness. And it will also be full of independence, because independents are the future. And we're not alone in our independence. Country over party, people over politics, light over heat. Busting up the status quo like a 16-seed Cinderella in your bracket and fueling a new movement that spans all across our society. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it far and wide and be sure to tune in next week for Ken Burns and invite others to declare their independence. And stay vigilant, my friend, because eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. And know you're not alone in your vigilance. We're all vigilant, and we're all in this together. I'm your host, Paul Rykoff. Thank you for listening. Down with Hamas. Down with Putin. Slava Ukraine. Enjoy the madness, and stay vigilant, America.
Powered by Righteous Media.